Well, the health and well-being of our Great Lakes has always been a focus of this program, and no more so than now as winter is turning to spring. Water-related activities from tourism to agricultural planning have begun to ramp up, but some different and perhaps unexpected challenges have recently emerged. And with us to talk about these new challenges and the overall status of the Great Lakes in general is good friend of this program and director of the Office of the Great Lakes in Michigan. He is John Allen. The Office of the Great Lakes has the responsibility to preserve and protect our wonderful Great Lakes. John, it's been a while, but good to see you back on the program.
It has been a while. Thank you for having me back.
John, let's remind our listeners a little bit about the mission and purview of the Office of the Great Lakes.
Sure. Very briefly, the office was founded a number of years ago under Governor Blanchard and has kept all the way through all the other governors, Republican, Democrat, the Great Lakes, no party from that standpoint. And the office is really there to emphasize and to prioritize work on the Great Lakes and also to do that in concert with our seven other Great Lakes states and two provinces. So we do a lot of work, restoration, we'll talk about that in a little bit on the restoration side of the equation, but also the broad management of the Great Lakes with our Canadian colleagues in Ontario and Quebec.
And I know you like to focus and make sure and underscore our Canadian colleagues, but you also do, you have an important role with the Great Lakes Commission. What is the Great Lakes Commission and what is your role?
So I'm head of the delegation for Michigan. We have a number of commissioners from Michigan that are appointed to the commission, and it's also eight states and two provinces. And it's a place where we really sit down together routinely and try to work out issues, whether it's the 40% reduction of phosphorus in Lake Erie. That's a shared problem. Mm-hmm. Whether it's the management of invasive species, that's a shared problem. Whether it's water flows and diversions, that's a shared problem. All these things are not just solely or uniquely in one state or another. And the Great Lakes Commission, I currently serve as chair of that body, really is one of those regional institutions, 60 years old now, that has helped to facilitate the ongoing management and health of the Great Lakes.
John, we've talked a little bit about this before, but you've been in the Office of the Great Lakes for quite a while now. You've been involved with the Great Lakes Commission. The Great Lakes, really, one of those areas where you have this international with the Canadians.
Yeah, yeah.
But it has really been, people are pretty much on the same page, Republicans, Democrats, Canadians, Americans, in terms of this treasure.
We often hear this talked about as bipartisan, but I think it's really nonpartisan. The Great Lakes don't know those politics. That's why we're so concerned right now under the GLRI, the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative, and the president's budget, which really essentially zeroed out that whole program. It's been so critically important for us moving ahead. We were just in Washington, D.C. this last week with the commission, with their semi-annual meeting, did a number of visits to the Hill, and Republican, Democrat, left-leaning, right-leaning, however you want to cast that, the voice is universal on the importance of both the Great Lakes to us as a people, not just in Michigan, but across the region, but also the funding necessary to support the kinds of programs for us to drive the health of the Great Lakes forward.
Let's background a little bit. Great Lakes Restoration Initiative, I think, was established in about 2010.
Yeah,
is that correct?
About six, 7 years now, yeah.
Talk a little bit about, we're talking $300 million, if my numbers are right, down to about $10 million, which is, you said, essentially zeroing out the program.
Well, the initial budget, the early leaked budget was 10, and when the president's budget finally came out, it was zero.
Wow.
So
it's gone.
I think that's about 100%.
Now, that's out of the EPA budget, is that correct?
All of the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative money essentially flows to the one agency. Some of it gets split up into the other federal agencies. Fisheries and Wildlife Service uses it for some of their Great Lakes work, NOAA, USGS. So some of the federal family use it for their activities. Some of that money flows to the states for state capacity. The large share of that money, large amounts of money, go to communities, places like Muskegon and downriver Detroit and Monroe and up in St. Mary's River and over in Menominee, places where we've had history of contamination. The large monies, millions and millions and millions of dollars, are going into communities to what I like to call clear the legacy, contamination and habitat loss.
Yeah, that was, you anticipated my next questions. Some of the initiatives, you mentioned habitat loss, wetlands restoration.
Right.
What are some of the other things that the Great Lakes Initiative has actually gotten accomplished in the last 7 years?
Substantial amounts of toxic sediment removals in harbors in places.
Like mercury?
Well, mercury, organics, PCBs. There was a PCB removal not too long ago in the River Raisin. I think Ford Motor Company did about $15 million. The federal side put in, I think, $5 or $6 million in that range. So they worked together, and instead of arguing about it forever, they actually got it done. And GLRI is one of those mechanisms to help really move that ahead. So we're seeing a really constant level of activity. It took a number of years for this, like call them pipeline of projects, this set of projects to come through, to mature, to get to the point where they're ready for restoration. You can't just flip a switch and find $300 million and move out the door. It takes thoughtfulness. It takes engineering. It takes communities coming together. It takes communities finding vision together. And what we're most worried about under GLRI, the money is critical, but the amount of work that people have done under this to get us to this point, you can't just flip this switch on and off. This is long-term durable work, and we need to make long-term durable commitments to it.
John, you mentioned that you and other members of the commission were recently in Washington talking to our congresspeople, our senators. What did you hear?
We heard universal support across party lines for Great Lakes. It's really a wonderful thing. It actually makes our life a little easier. You go into a congressional office, and they say, we're with you. This is important. What can we do together? How do we... So it's not just talking to ourselves. It's really talking to the nation. It's really making sure that the nation understands the Great Lakes as a national priority. We get it here, but what we have to do is make sure Missouri and Montana and Mississippi, the other M states, feel it the same way we do. We participate in a lot of activities around the nation, you know, with our support. And we think that this is an important national priority, not just a local or parochial interest.
Our listeners out there are thinking, what can we do to help you and others who are committed to our Great Lakes to make sure that this defunding doesn't happen?
I'd say two things. One is just to make sure that the representatives, the congressmen, senators, men and women, and legislators know that this is important to you. They support it, but it's always helpful to know that. But I think also to make sure that the Speaker of the House knows it. It's not just your local person, but the country needs to know this. Mm-hmm. And we, as I said, we often talk to ourselves and we convince ourselves this is good, and it is good, but we need to make sure that the nation understands the importance of this. And part of that is sort of advocacy beyond our own neighborhood, if you will. Here's a good example. Great Lakes Restoration Initiative helps support Illinois fish down the fishing populations for Asian carp. It's one of the most important pieces ongoing right now for Asian carp control, that Illinois keeps substantial fishing pressure. A fair amount of that money, essentially all that money for Illinois to do that work, because it is a regional and a national problem, comes to the GLRI. If that happens without a long-term solution for the movement of Asian carp, that puts the Great Lakes at large more at risk. So even a small piece like this corner of the program within GLRI is important to Illinois. It's important to Michigan for us to support that. And it's important for the nation to really participate in that as well.
We'll come back to the Asian carp in a second, but it's for Great Lakes Restoration Initiative. Write your congressmen, write your senators. We do not need to have this program. It'll be tragic, frankly, if this program was defunded.
I think it would. It was hard fought to get there. It was a collaborative effort to set the priorities. This was very much a ground-up effort to understand what the regional priorities are, and I think it would be a shame to see any of it diminish.
Back to the Asian carp. You mentioned before we started our chat here, but there's an Army Corps of Engineer report that's been on hold. It hasn't been released yet. Give us the background.
Just very briefly, that the Corps was almost at the moment of release. The report was pulled back. We're really advocating for its issuance. It doesn't say, here's the final answer. It says, here's a set of choices. Here's what those choices might cost. We think that's an important part of the conversation. We're a little bit blind. Mm-hmm. The region's really looked very strongly at a place in Illinois, in that Illinois River system called Brandon Road. It's a lock and dam, Corps of Engineers. We see it as a pinch point, and we think that there's some good work that we could do there. I think the GLRI funding on fishing pressure highlights the longer-term need for a more permanent solution than solely on the fishing side. So I think that's an important study that needs to get out.
We're talking Great Lakes issues with John Allen, who is the director of the Office of the Great Lakes. John, you were recently at a meeting in Flint, a pretty important powwow. I know that the Office of the Great Lakes extends not inward as well. What's the situation from 30,000 feet in Flint right now? Because we'll do some subsequent interviews on that as well.
Sure. As I said, Flint has not been the predominant part or even a large part of our direct portfolio. However, I found the meeting to be really fabulous in a couple of ways. One is it really brought people from around the nation and internationally, the governor's talked about this, really brought some minds and voices internationally to continue to think about what the whole solution set for Flint looks like. What technologies could look like. The folks from Netherlands were there, and they had some interesting ideas. So really trying to think more broadly. This was something that the mayor talked a lot about how do we really look not just the short term and deal with the crisis as it has gotten to, but really what are the long-term solutions. And to see the mayor and the governor and the head of the EPA, the acting head of the EPA, on the stage together, talking about moving forward together, I think really highlights where that program has come. I think it's come a long ways, and I think it's a good thing.
One thing that sort of struck me, turning some of these lemons into some lemonade, but this could be a model for communities across the United States and the world with respect to the importance of infrastructure and what they can do.
I think that's the important point. The commission's dealing with that. We're certainly dealing with that here within the state of Michigan. We talked about that within the context of the water strategy. The 21st Century Infrastructure Commission talked about this. Infrastructure, water infrastructure, the stuff you don't see, the stuff that we often take for granted, is of critical importance. Mm-hmm. It's how we deliver water to people. It's how we remove waste. And it really sets the stage for the health of both our population, our people, and the environment. How we utilize water, how we move it through human systems, and how we send it back to nature all matter. And that's all facilitated through infrastructure. And we haven't attended to that as much as we needed to. I think that record's pretty clear.
Well, we've covered that report. That was a very impressive report, but of course, water naturally was front and center in all of that. Right. Nutrients in our Great Lakes, that has been an issue. That concerns Canada as well. It's not just agricultural practices, but they're a contributor to that. Where are we with nutrients in the Great Lakes, Lake Erie, Lake Ontario in particular?
So, you know, the governor and the premier of Ontario, Premier Wynne, and the governor of Ohio signed an agreement for the 40% reduction. The next stage of that is to finish up what is called the domestic action plans under the water quality agreement. It's another set of actions that will be taken to really drive that 40% of the phosphorus out of the system. And that's, again, a collective action between what's happening in Michigan, what's happening in Ontario, what's happening in Ohio. Ontario just released a report, a plan for themselves. Now it's under public comment. I urge people to take a look at that. Michigan's actions are moving along. We really are using the MEEP program, the agricultural program, farmer practice program, to drive practices on the farms, voluntary uptake, and we're seeing some great through the Department of Ag. I think the Department of Ag is doing a wonderful job in helping our farmers kind of move forward on those, and you're going to continue to see, you know, further actions as we move forward towards that commitment.
One thing, getting to the 40% that we've been hearing for the last year or so is the importance, and actually this may be beginning to happen, environmental and agricultural groups sitting around the table together talking about how we can work together. We're all on the same page here. Let's get this done.
I think so. I think here's a good example. When you set a unified goal, 40% reduction. It's a target now.
Right.
And every state and province and location now needs to figure out what works best within their jurisdictions. This wasn't we'll set a goal and I'm going to tell you how to get there.
Right.
This was, let's set a goal and let's hold each other accountable for how we're going to get there. So I think we're seeing some progress. The data that we're seeing out of Heidelberg University in Ohio is showing in the Michigan side, at least, in the River Raisin, reductions in phosphorus. We'll see if that's enough of itself to move us towards the goal. I think it's making a significant difference. The work that we're seeing the USGS on the federal side do on edge of field monitoring, all these underlying components, they're not sexy, they're not, in and of themselves enough, but they collectively work to tell us how we're driving forward and what progress looks like.
Well, every scientist we've talked to, who's not affiliated with anything, usually universities or what have you, saying that the health of the Great Lakes continues to improve. It's been a good story. Congratulations to you and the work that you do in your office, John. And let's get you back on. Let's follow this thing with the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative.
Absolutely. We're following it every
day. Got to make sure that
we have to keep the pressure on.
All right. My guest has been John Allen, frequent guest on this program. He is the director of the Office of the Great Lakes, which has the responsibility to preserve and protect our precious Great Lakes. Thank you, John.
Thank you very much.